Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are. This is State of the Arts. I am Paul Strolley, but unfortunately we have a, fortunate for us here in the studio, but unfortunate for Mr. Michael Sterling, who is a little under the weather. We have a stunt Sterling here today, welcoming Kevin Tice back to State of the Arts. Kevin, welcome to, thanks for stepping by and helping us out.
Thank you, Paul. I'm here. Trying to fill Mr. Sterling's enormous shoes. It is a pleasure to be back.
They follow you around, these people, the applause people.
They're cheaper than you think.
I like how well trained they are to just stop so perfectly. You know, just, well, they know exactly.
All right, thank
when
you
to
all.
Wrap it up.
Okay.
What?
No, I just.
Okay.
Sometimes if they do it too much, they ask for more money, and it's just.
Yeah, they're very, very troublesome. It really bothers me sometimes. We have a very, very exciting show today. But before we get to that, would you pay the bills, Kevin, and thank our sponsors?
Certainly. We would like to first thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, and you really should, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com for one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
This is exciting. Based on the Academy Award-winning animated feature film...
I didn't believe that at all.
What?
Let's try it again. I didn't sense the excitement. I don't mean it. Let's try it again.
Oh, you want it excited,
if
do you?
If you could, yeah. If you try that again. Go ahead.
Based... on the Academy Award-winning animated feature film. Hold on. Disney Beauty and the Beast is, and I have the people here to prove it, an eye-popping spectacle that has won the hearts of over 35 million people worldwide. Few such classics can compare to this musical love story, which boasts unforgettable characters, lavish sets, colorful costumes, and dazzling production numbers, along, including Be Our Guest and, of course, the beloved title song.
That is not the beloved title song, but
no.
You were so excited I had to back it up. A restless and beautiful girl, and she is certainly that because we're looking right at her. A restless and beautiful girl longing for adventure and escape from the confines of her small village, her boorish pursuer, an enchanted castle, and a beastly prince who is not what he seems. Mm-hmm. Today we are joined by three of the stars.
How many?
Three.
Okay.
I'll just get back to my read. Of this charming story about the transformational power of love, joining us on the phone very shortly will be Cameron Bond. And right here in studio, we have Afton Kwas and Alexander Mendoza. Welcome to State of the Arts, folks. We're very grateful to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Oh,
that was
yes.
a very exciting introduction.
Wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Some people recognize excitement when they hear it.
I felt the emotion when you introduced the film.
Did you?
It was real.
Don't help me. Just reading what's on the cards. That's all I'm doing. But before we get to these guests that we have here and Cameron, who is waiting patiently on the phone for us, Kevin, how was your week? You're sort of feeling the waters here in the City of Angels from Chicago.
I am. I've been here about 6 weeks, and what's exciting is I have auditions that I go on and all that stuff, and in between I have the leisure time sometimes to explore the city. And this is, of course, an historic and fascinating city, and I've been seeing as much of the sights as I can. And this week I went to the most bizarre places I've ever been to in my life. Have you guys been to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery?
Oh, no. Yes.
You haven't?
Oh, yes.
You must go, especially if you're into the creepy and bizarre. I mean, first of all, some of the name alone, Hollywood Forever, right? It makes me wonder why anyone not involved in the film business would be buried there. But there's hundreds of people there, along with all these famous movie stars and composers and writers and directors and all this stuff. And you walk through there, and they give you a little map, or they don't give it to you. They sell you a little map, and you walk around, and you can see, oh, there's Alfalfa over there, and there's Darla over there, and I paid tribute to him. Mel Blanc is buried there. He's got the funniest epitaph in the whole cemetery. It just says, "That's all, folks," on his tombstone. Oh, yeah. Funny guy.
There's like a real ostentatious tombstone there. The one that's really over the top is a rock star.
Yep. Who is it? It's Johnny Ramone.
Johnny Ramone, yes.
And most of the tombstones are very understated. You know, like John Huston. John Huston, one of the great directors of all time. He's buried alongside his mother. And it's the same tombstone for both of them. And it's about the size of a checkerboard. It's really small. You'd never guess it. Johnny Ramone has a statue of himself on top of a plinth. He's got a guitar and he's like rocking out on top of this thing. It's like, Johnny, give it a rest, man. You didn't need to go so overboard.
You can take it with you. Is that what it's called? A plinth?
Is
the plinth the pedestal?
A pedestal, a monolith, if you will. Right. But he's on top. But then right across from him is the Fairbanks lawn, which has the tombs of Douglas Fairbanks and Douglas Fairbanks Jr. It's got this enormous rectangular fountain in front of it, and it's a wild place to go. There's Fay Wray is over there, and Darren McGavin's over there. And
So if I were to ask you whatever happened to Fay Wray,
I could point to the ground and say, she's 6 feet under here.
And that's where it's the Fairbanks mausoleum that they show the movies on the side of.
That's the other thing that's so bizarre about the place is that they allow people to come in a couple times a month and they show movies on the side of the mausoleum and people just camp out on the cemetery and watch Purple Rain or whatever.
Yeah. I saw Casablanca there.
See? Did you?
It was magical. It started to rain at the end. Aww. It was beautiful.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I saw the Muppet movie there.
You did? And was it magical?
Just luring children into the cemetery.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
The two cultural it should have, if Earth Science from high school serves me correctly, when those two cultural fronts met, it should have been raining right in the middle of
yes.
it. Because it's like the Muppets and you're in this creepy cemetery at night, but it works. It works in
well,
a wonderful situation.
I'm dying for them to like put a zombie movie up there because people will just be looking around like anytime now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Faye's going to pop out of the ground.
Yeah. That's a hoop. I should do that. I've never gone just to do that. I've only gone for the movie. So
you
got to
watch it. It's wild.
But let's get to this show. But thank you, Kevin. Thank you for sharing that. I would share my own week if it were even remotely as exciting. But, you know, you do that, and as I said, I clean my grout.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Saw, yeah.
Life on the Edge with Paul.
It's great. Yeah, he's been picking out paint colors this week, from what I understand.
Oh. They said I was a fool to dream.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Introduce him, and I will set him up on the electric telephone.
I am
here.
Very happy to introduce our first guest. He counts among his credits the U.S. National Tour of Beauty and the Beast, Damn Yankees, Les Miserables, Into the Woods, and Legally Blonde. He holds a B.A. in Business from the Azusa Pacific University. He works as a freelance producer for industry-leading creative agencies in L.A. and New York City. Bringing to life the role of Gaston, please welcome Cameron Bond.
Cameron!
Hello.
Hey, Cameron, how are you? Thank you so much for finding the time to join us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
We have a limitation here in the studio. We would love to have you here with us, but we're only permitted two guests in the studio, limited seating and space, and something about a fire code or something. But delighted to have you on the show. And looking through your promotional material here, this is not your first Beauty and the Beast rodeo, is it?
It is not. I can't escape the show. It's just part of me at this point. I'll be playing it the rest of my life.
What is your... I know it's a bit of a trite question, Cameron, but I always... We have a lot of young actors who listen to the show and people new to the industry who don't have your level of experience. And they're always curious, how do you keep it new for yourself? And, I mean, obviously, it's the nice thing about having different cast members to share the experience with. But any special tips or tricks you have for our young listeners? I don't mean to imply you're not
definitely
young. That sounded like I implied that you're not young. I didn't mean to mean that.
He didn't think I was exciting. Don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, performing is what makes me most happy in the world. So keeping it fresh is not too hard because I get to actually do what I love. And a checklist that I go through is just to know sometimes it's, you know, the first time someone in that audience has ever seen a show, and it could be also somebody's last time they ever see a show. And I always try to keep that in mind and always give it my best, even if I've done the show more than 200 something times. So I'll make sure that every time I'm doing it, it's like it's my first time.
Have you worked at 3D Theatricals before?
Yes, they have been very good to me, and I'm very fortunate. They've pretty much Most of my professional gigs have been with 3D, and I've started in the ensemble, and now have done leads for them. So 3D has been a great place to work at for myself, and which has great, you know, theatrical professional productions in SoCal.
They really do. They really do. And everyone says the same thing, and I'm sure there are two guests in studio here, and I believe that Afton mentioned something to this effect when we had her on for a Sideshow, which was also a 3D theatricals production. Mm-hmm. There is such a familial sense from that group, because, I mean, technically it is a family. It's three siblings that run it. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Three Dawsons.
Three Dawsons, yeah. And everyone just comes out of these productions. Michael Sterling has worked with them quite a bit. And just they always have such favorable things to say about the experience, not only the product, but the experience of doing the shows. And obviously you found that to be the case, no?
Absolutely. And now having even been in New York and seen a lot of regional across the U.S. and now can compare it, it's really, really one of the top regional theaters in the U.S. with the production values, with the talent they get there. It's really a special treat for Orange County, and they're still a new company and theater company, and it's really great of what they've already accomplished and will continue to accomplish with people supporting it.
And I also noticed in looking through this that a friend of Kevin and mine from our old Chicago days that I did a production of Laughter on the 23rd Floor with him in Chicago. Joey Dioria is in the show, and he just Joey's a little force of nature, isn't he?
Yeah, he's incredible to work with. His resume alone is just worth bowing down to. He's an awesome guy and just such a pleasure to work with.
And a former Bozo. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
No. He was Bozo the Clown in Chicago I think longer than any. He wasn't the original Bozo, but no. I think he was Bozo longer than anyone else.
And if you don't know anything about Bozo in Chicago, that was the hardest ticket to get into. I mean, the Bozo show was bigger than Woodstock. It was incredible.
People who were thinking about having children sent it. No, seriously.
Yeah, you get
it. It was about
list.
A 7-year waiting list to get tickets to the Bozo show. Yeah. It was nuts.
Goodness.
It was nuts. And later on,
the Gong Show.
Oh yes, the Dr. Flamo thing.
Yeah, he won with Dr. Flamo. He won the Gong Show.
I have to tell you, he was on Johnny Carson with Dr. Flamo.
Right.
And right. I was backstage at Laughter on the 23rd Floor, and we were talking about something, and I said to Joey, not knowing anything of his history, I said, I saw this thing on the Gong Show when I was a kid, where this guy came up with these graduated candles, and he held his hand over it, and he played Smoke It's in Your Eyes by going, ha, 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 holding his hand over the thing. And Joey just sort of shot me this look like, yeah, you're really funny. And I said, what? He goes, Paul, that was me. I had no idea it was him. I was just relating the story from memory. And sure enough, he brought in a VHS tape the next, to give you an idea how long ago that was. He brought in a VHS tape, and sure enough.
Paul's very old.
I'm so sorry. But yeah. Cameron, thank you so much for joining us. We have the two folks here, so we're going to move on to them because we're addressing three people today. But I wanted to thank you so much for spending some time with us, and continued success with the show. And
thank you, and have fun with Afton and Alex. They're the true beauties of the cast in your life.
We paid him to say that.
That is so.
Exactly.
Kevin, thank you so much. And I apologize for the little technical glitch at the start of the show that happened before we went on the air. I think that was my fault, not yours. So I'm glad we finally made the connection.
Great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye. A nice guy.
Yeah.
Really nice guy.
He's not at all mean like Gaston.
No.
Right?
Not like you described him before we were on the air.
I know. Yeah, He's nothing at all. Wait, what?
I
didn't find him to be surly. I think we should ask our celebrity guest what he thinks about this whole. We have our celebrity guest with us today.
Of course. Please, ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to the studio Mr. Jack Black.
Wow.
God, I'm fucking hungry.
Oh, okay.
We can go out for lunch later, Jack. Jeez.
What are you doing?
We're conducting interviews, if you wouldn't mind.
Do you believe in God?
That's a discussion for another day, Jack. Stop hogging.
Do you have any money?
Oh, dear God. All right, look, we're going to try and move on to our guests here. We have important people to talk to. Just wait your turn.
I will do that. But before I introduce the next guest, Kevin, would you let folks know how they can get tickets to this production we're talking about?
Indeed. If you are interested in seeing the show this coming weekend, they are at the Plummer Auditorium in Fullerton, California. If you are, they're currently performing, and I won't describe them all, but through the Sunday, February 21st, they're at the Plummer Auditorium. And we'll, if you go want to, you can go to www.3dtshows.com to get tickets.
And the thing about the 3D theatrical shows is that they switch venues quite often. In this case, they're switching to the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. That's at 1935 East Manhattan Boulevard in beautiful downtown Redondo Beach. So they will be at the Fullerton venue, as Kevin mentioned, the Plummer Auditorium, through the 21st. And then a few days later, they kick it off in Redondo Beach. That is, I believe, the 26th through the 28th. So the best thing about it, both of these locations, they're areas where you can go. You can go early, park, dine, do all that, and catch the show.
Fantastic.
So our next guest is originally from Orange County, 10 minutes from Plummer Auditorium in Fullerton. After touring with a group called the Young Americans and training in New York City, she has now made Los Angeles her home. Some past theater credits include Sideshow, which I saw, which she was astonishing in, The Secret Garden, and Don't Dress for Dinner with International City Theater. She's also performed sketch comedy at Second City Hollywood, UCB, that's Upright Citizens Brigade for those who don't know, and IO West, which would be Improv Olympic West, as well as Funny or Die and other film projects all over Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Please welcome back to State of the Arts, the belle of the ball this afternoon, Afton Kwas. Hey.
Your applause people are wonderful.
Well, you know.
I want them.
They are available for hire, but I'm using them through the weekend.
Okay.
You can take them down to Redondo with you.
Yeah. I'll contact
Afton, how are you?
I'm really good. Thank you. How are you?
It's so good to see you again.
It's so good to see you.
You told me this the last time you were on the air, but I want you to tell the listeners. You have the most original name, and I know you get asked about it all the time, but the origin is poetic in some way. What is the...
Yes, it's a river in England. There is a song called Flow Gently, Sweet Afton.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an old folk song.
Oh,
and I wish I could say, like, my parents conceived me in the river or something very exciting like that, but it was just a girl my mom knew in high school.
I don't know that would enhance the story.
Sound especially exciting.
It might have been exciting for my parents. I don't know.
They conceived me in a river because they couldn't afford the room.
Yeah, who are listening and horrified right now, I'm sure.
You should meet my brother Volkswagen.
And couch.
I'm sorry, Kevin, would you say that again?
You should meet my brother Volkswagen.
Oh, yeah. There it is. There it is.
A little late on that.
No.
My sister, locker room.
Oh, no.
Locker room, but it's spelled L-O-C-K-H.
Yeah.
You know, like, locker. It's Celtic. Mm-hmm. You know,
yes.
Son of Ethelred.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about nicer things than where you were conceived.
Okay. That would be great. I would love to move on.
As I'm sure with your cringing family.
Yes. They're horrified. Yes.
So, Belle, having fun?
Yeah. Kind of a dream. My favorite Disney movie growing up was Beauty and the Beast. And I used to act it out in my room. Actually, I had a really terrible next door neighbor little girl who she would come over and she would be Belle and she would make me play all the other parts. So I know the rest of the show very well.
Wow.
And then she would leave and I would like do it sadly in my room while she left because she wouldn't let me do it.
And so, that girl, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and that girl is famous and doing very well. No, I don't know what happened to her. I hope she's well. I hope she got to be Belle too.
Well, it's funny you should say that because we've got her right here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Jennifer. Wow. So nice to meet you. She's not here.
Can I just tell you how old you just made me feel when you said that
Beauty
and the Beast was your favorite musical growing up?
I'm so sorry.
Because I'm like, for me, Pinocchio, maybe? Maybe Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I did see Snow White in the theaters.
Really?
When it came out.
Oh yeah, right.
Well, that's not.
That's like saying, you know, I saw Mary Poppins on DVD.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry.
Beauty and the Beast came out after we graduated college. You know,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Really?
So. Yeah.
Don't add to this. Please don't make it worse. Just
shut up and listen to my order.
Jack's mad.
Jack, all right, Jack, just back off, man.
Yeah.
You know, here's a bowl of Cheetos. Sit in the corner.
Yeah. Now, he's good now.
Here's the thing, though. If I remember correctly, Belle is pretty. You're carrying, not carrying this thing, because I don't like to say carry because it's disrespectful for everyone. It's such a collaborative effort. You're on stage a lot.
Yes, correct. I didn't quite realize it till I was doing it, and our choreographer said, "How are you doing? Are you okay?" Like I was all bruised up from doing all these pratfalls. I mean, thrown around and crying, and you know, running and you know, dance, kicking in a kick line. Apparently, Belle has to dance, which I didn't know until the callbacks. And I'm doing high kicks and fan kicks, and you know, so yeah, it's a lot more work than I thought, but it's pretty great.
You know, people don't realize that. You see people that do musicals or do things of this nature. And, you know, I remember my friend was doing a show and she was wearing shorts. And you just really look like, you know, a loan shark just took you out. With the bruises and just really being all bad. People don't realize how physical it is.
Yeah. And this show especially because, you know, it does have that, it was an animated, you know, movie. So it's a little bigger than life,
right.
And so you're really, especially with all these fast changes and that huge gold dress, and you know, you're really putting your body through it.
Yeah, and 3D theatricals does it well. I mean, it's
it's
full tilt boogie. I saw, I think that it was Joey posted something on Libro di Faccia. I don't say Facebook.
No.
Libro di Faccia. And
they don't pay us to advertise them.
Yeah, if we said Facebook, we'd really be in trouble.
Exactly.
So long as we don't say FUBAR.
Right.
You know how that is.
No.
But Joey had a picture up on Facebook, because I'm Facebook friends with Joey, and just his little thing is just stunning.
I know. It's beautiful. They do such amazing work there. And it's such an impressive show.
And how many shows is this with them for you? I mean, you've done more than a couple, right?
I did, you know, years ago, I did All Shook Up 2.0 when I moved back from New York, because they did it two times, and I came in and filled in for someone the second time. And then I did Sideshow with them, and that's been it. But I've known the Dawsons for a very long time. Jeanette's one of my best friends. Technically, there's four Ds.
Okay.
She would appreciate me saying that,
so
even
it's
though
Jeanette,
it's three
Ds. So it's Jeanette and TJ.
TJ,
I know.
And Daniel Dawson and Gretchen Dawson.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know we're here talking about Beauty and the Beast, but I do want to mention how much, I mean, what's it like to do a show where you're not literally joined at the hip with another, as you were in Sideshow?
It's so funny. It was actually kind of disconcerting in a sort of way, just because when I got in the Plummer Auditorium, I was like, because my last memory is there, our Sideshow, and so I felt kind of lonely.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh my God. So in a way, it kind of fed into how Belle is feeling in the beginning of the show, a little lonely and doesn't feel like she fits in. And I had to, you know, figure out what I was doing on my own, you know. It's kind of weird.
I love process stories like that.
When you're doing a show that's as well-known as Beauty and the Beast, can you hear people singing along with you from the audience?
No. I can't. Maybe they are. They should be.
But
it is an interesting thing because, you know, you don't want to mess up lyrics.
Right?
Everybody knows them.
Yeah.
So
go back into it right.
Yeah.
Rewind.
Is
it to track there, or do they have live music there?
Oh, it's a live orchestra.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think it's an 18-piece live orchestra. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Ugh. And Julie Lamoureux is just, she's our music director.
What
and
am
she's,
I saying? I did see stuff there. I didn't remember that.
Conducting, and it's beautiful. Yeah, so to hear that music, too. I remember I was sitting there for the very beginning, right before I sing Little Town, you're right, and you're holding the book, and just that music, it's so iconic, and I was like, oh, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Belle right now.
Yeah,
this is really happening. It was just, it's like a really cool thing.
Another friend of ours, Joey, and I did, when we did the show in Chicago, we worked with an actor named Ron Orbach, who's just a phenomenal actor and musical theater actor. And he talked about that because he was on Broadway in Chicago and he played the Mr. Cellophane. I don't remember the character's name, but he.
Right.
And he goes, when you're there, when you're just there and those first chords just start up, it's just like it's new every time.
Yeah.
Because you're just on that ride. You know,
yeah.
It really is just transcendent.
And you got five more shows this weekend coming up?
Yeah, we got five shows this weekend. So tonight, tomorrow, two on Saturday, one on Sunday.
Oof. So now when you do the show, do you have a tanker truck bring in the water that you need to drink?
They're making fun of me because I brought in a really big jug of water today.
Yeah,
I just
well,
like to stay hydrated.
That's for her own good.
That's hydrated is one thing, but I've never seen anyone who needed their own hand truck.
Yeah. I do. I get them to bring it in through the back.
Right.
Every time I go off stage, they... I should just have an IV.
Is she just here to swap out the water cooler? Or,
yes. I didn't come for the interview. I came for your water.
Exactly.
I want your water.
Well, as always, it's a pleasure having you on the show now a second time, Afton. And Kevin, if you would be so kind, let's throw these numbers out there again to let people know where they're going to get tickets for Beauty and the Beast. You got that at the ready?
I do. Remember this weekend, they're doing five shows, Thursday to Sunday, two on Saturday. At the Plummer Auditorium in Fullerton, California. You can call 714-589-2770, but I would recommend to go do it online, www.3dtshows.com. That again, www.3dtshows.com.
And also, this, and people should know this, because Ticketmaster has a tendency to really go crazy with the handling fees, and this is just $3, which is very, I mean, you got to run a website, and that's very, very acceptable. And also, the other thing, too, this always astounds me. Tickets start at $25. Mm-hmm. That's not parking in New York City.
Right.
And you're seeing a show of at least that quality.
Right.
And that's why, you know, these theaters really need to be supported. And they are. They have a tremendous following out mm-hmm. there, 3D Theatricals. That's the Fullerton location Kevin mentioned. And then we move on to, or they move on to, see, I'm already in the show. You
right.
see I put myself in there? I'm not in it, though, Kevin. You know why? I had a conflict. I was going to do this production, and then I had a conflict. I couldn't do it.
You were going to be Belle?
No, I can't sing or dance.
Lady! Hi, the father! Hi, the...
Then they moved.
Don't say it might be dirty.
Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center is where they go. 1935 East Manhattan Boulevard in Redondo Beach. Same website, 3DT Shows, or you can call 714-589-2770. So, we are going to speak to Alexander very, very shortly, who's sitting here so patiently, but we have a little arts calendar piece, which I'm going to share right now, because I am a fan of Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
A political revolution is burning. That's B-E-R, burning. Join us to turn up the heat. Fuel the Burn, a fundraiser for Bernie Sanders, or as Kevin refers to him, Bernie Sandwiches.
Bernie Sandwiches.
Very funny bit there from the Stephen Colbert Show. Fundraiser for Bernie Sanders will kick off our fundraising efforts with a night of music, spoken word, comedy, and live painting. The goal is to raise $10,000 at this event. Performers include the Jane Does, or Jane Does. That would make more sense, wouldn't it? The Jane Does. Pilgrim, a phenomenal band in town that I just absolutely love and follow them wherever they go. And DJ Mahali, plus scrumptious food provided by local restaurants. A no-host bar. Featuring, what is that?
A no-host bar.
I'll have to find out. I like the second half of it. Bar has always worked.
I want to get back to live painting eventually.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that must be like.
Yeah. Live. I did that once in college, but I was experimenting.
Right.
A no-host bar featuring wine, champagne, beer, and Burning Man cocktails is also available, as well as a raffle and silent auction. $40 gets you entertainment, food, one Burning Man cocktail, and a Bernie button. And only 150 tickets will be sold. Get yours at The Whole 9. That's the number 9. The, W-H-O-L-E, 9.com/fuelTheBurn. And, of course, course, Bern is B-E-R-N for Bernie Sanders, not B-U-R-N, as you would expect. TheWhole9.com. Fuel the Burn takes place this Saturday from 7 to 11 at the Whole Nine Gallery. That's 3830 Main Street in beautiful Culver City. For more info, 310-836-4300.
Paul, I didn't catch that number. What's that number again?
That's 310-836-4300. Call before midnight tonight and you get a Bernie oven mitt.
No, oh, no.
Oh, that would be
That would
great,
be good,
though.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Bernie, you see what I did?
We should do that.
The whole burn thing. I'm always working.
With the oven mitt, you won't feel the burn. You want them to feel the burn.
Oh, yeah.
It should be a really lousy oven mitt.
Exactly.
A silk oven mitt.
Right.
Oh, God. All right. So that's my political pitch for the day. And,
nice.
And my great friend Heidi Huber is running this whole thing. And she's a lovely person. She and her whole family love them dearly and will support them in this effort. Kevin, would you introduce this very handsome gentleman to my right?
I would be happy to. Our next guest is honored to be making his debut at 3D Theatricals in his dream role. He was recently in Mamma Mia on Royal Caribbean's Allure of the Seas. His Broadway national tours include the first national tour of Sister Act and the national tour of Mamma Mia. Favorite regional credits include Next to Normal and Spring Awakening with McCoy Rigby Entertainment. He will be performing his solo concert on March 28th at Rockwell Table and Stage here in Los Angeles. Please welcome Mr. Alexander Mendoza!
Hey. Alexander!
What's up?
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, we're out of time. But thank you so much.
You know, we mentioned that it's your dream role, but we didn't mention what it is. Who are you playing?
I'm playing the Beast.
How awesome is that?
It's pretty cool. It's way better than being the cheese grater I was a freshman year of high school.
Oh,
our cheese grater is amazing.
He's great.
He's so
great.
Fantastic.
I was just bitter at 14. He is not. He's awesome.
Well, that occurred to me. Yeah, the first time I ever saw, like, they were doing the Aladdin stage show, and how do you call your dad and say, "Hey, Dad, I'm the rug"? But it's got to be a cool role to play.
In high school, it's, you know, a little different though. My brother's a baseball player, or he used to be. Baseball player, and my mom let me come home early that day because she was like, "Oh, my son's going to cry if he doesn't get the Beast." And she knew deep down the freshman over the seniors, you know, he's not going to get it.
Sure.
But my brother called, not understanding what a cast list was, and he goes, "Oh, Mom, Alex is playing the bookshelf." And I just threw the biggest fit because I was like, that part's not even in the script. They have inanimate objects and this one's not even written in. And then found out I was the bookseller, which was cool. I was like, I got a few lines, which is awesome. And then they were like, oh, you're going to be the cheese grater. But see, our cheese grater has a really cool, as you said, the costumes are like really cool. He looks like a cheese grater. My mom's still convinced I looked like a giant Hershey Kissed with like this cube of cheese on my head, but she wasn't convinced it was cheese, so it wasn't as fun then. It'd be fun now with the costume he has. That's awesome. What I was wearing, not so much.
He's a Hershey's Kiss from Wisconsin.
Yes, so basically. It was slightly to the side, too. So they were trying to make it, like, chic. I don't know.
Big Packers fan.
Exactly.
That's great.
And now, have you done shows with them there at 3D?
I have not. This is my first time. There. I've seen shows there.
His debut right here.
You think I listen to what you say? I don't listen to Sterling.
There you go.
He's here every week.
What odds do I have of being his?
So has it always been, you mentioned how young you were when it first started, has it always been musical theater, first love? Is that what you've always done? Would you consider yourself an actor who sings? Would you consider yourself a singer who also performs? Because you have this concert thing you mentioned. I'm interested to hear about that.
I would say singer-actor. Like, yeah. I can dance well. Like, I had to dance for Mamma Mia, but definitely singer-actor. I did not want to perform, though, as a kid. I was painfully, painfully shy. And my parents said, you know, you can't stay in your room and play with Legos. You have to...
And they weren't speaking in euphemism.
Nope. they were like, you have to go do something, and sports wasn't my thing. I wasn't good at it. My brother was really good at sports. And so they were like, why don't you try out for Oliver at the high school? And I was like, this is fun. And I enjoyed it, but I think it was in the middle of high school where it kind of hit that's what I wanted to do, you know.
But once you played the cheese grater.
Well, you know, the cheese grater, it just went uphill from there.
Exactly, yeah. You get that cheese grater heroin going.
Then you hope for the pepper. One day,
I'm going to show you guys a picture of this cheese grater before the day's over.
Right.
It is special.
Oh, okay, you know what? Do us a favor. Tell our listener, email that to us when we send you the link for the show, and we're going to put it up on the our Facebook page.
Absolutely. It's something else for everyone else to see. That was at Temple City High School, and I'm not afraid to say it.
All right.
You know, it's... It's interesting, though. I think a lot of people, because I was, when I was younger, I had like anxiety and panic about performing. And I think it's important for a lot of the young people who listen to our show, as I mentioned earlier, that people can be very accomplished theater performers and still be shy, which people don't understand at all. They think that that you can never be, that the twain will never meet. Would you still consider yourself a shy person offstage? I mean, I don't want to pry. It's not really my business.
Well, therapy, Bill. No, I'd say I am shy to some degree. It's learning when to turn on the actor and turn it off. We do meet and greets sometimes on Sundays because that's when all the little children come in their costumes. And that's easy, of course, because, you know, they see Belle and, the prince. They really want to see the Beast or, not the prince. But that's pretty easy. But I do get it. Like, I used to be the one, I still do sometimes, stay at the stage door and want everyone's autograph. And I can see how overwhelmed they get. Yeah. And I try to remind myself they're probably introverted, and that's why they do this, because I'm introverted to some degree. And even not being a celebrity, when people bombard me, I get overwhelmed. Not in a I'm going to be rude to you way, more of a, okay, we're just people, so just smile. But sometimes, it depends on the day. But this part's a little easier because it throws people at the end. They're like, oh, wait, you were the Beast? Oh, because they only see my face for like maybe 3 minutes as the prince. But even then, like, it takes a while to register.
Sure.
So sometimes I'm shy, but then I talk to people and they're like, you're not shy at all. Like, I'm like, uh-oh.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that whole thing about a bombardment, because one of our friends from Chicago, Kevin and I actually went to college together, and we lived in Chicago at the same time I was there for about 9 years. And another one of our friends is a very successful actor now named Jim O'Hare, who is Jerry on Parks and Recreation. Mm-hmm. And Kevin had lunch with him yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you were saying that he was talking about being at Sundance. Yeah. And it was, who was, share that tale?
He was going to Sundance, which you do. If you get invited, you go. Mm-hmm. And he was on his way out there. And his friend from the show, Nick Offerman, said, be careful. Be careful when you get out there, because it gets a little nuts, like the fans approaching you and stuff. He's like, he's been through this before. And he got out there, and he got a little dangerous. He thought, I'm going to be in some trouble here. And the cops had to sort of help him out at a moment, because it can get like that for some people. And then he's standing there, and all of a sudden he hears, hey, that's Bradley Cooper. And they all rushed away.
They're like, hey.
They ran across the street, and then they saw there was a whole phalanx of people around Cooper, and they weren't going to get anywhere near him. They're like, we'll go back to that guy. And Jim's like, oh, you're coming crawling back.
I think it's like, you have to remind yourself, I won't say the name, but there was one actor in particular I saw on a show on Broadway, and all I wanted was to meet this actor because it's who I aspired to be. And it was such a disappointment with the attitude I got. And there's introverted, and you can still be polite. Right. And then there was that.
Yeah.
And that was a whole other ballgame. Yeah. So it's reminding yourself, like in that situation, like that's a celebrity. Like for me, when like people come up to me in a show anytime, like it's reminding, okay, we're all equals. It's because sometimes it feels like, especially when you're playing Belle and Beast, like you see on social media, like I was seeing some things on Twitter, like commenting, I was like, okay, like, I'm aware I can read this, but you can't take it personal. So it's very interesting. It's just that learning that the fine line of
the balance.
Balance.
I find that I would not want to meet a lot of my heroes because of that. I would be afraid that would be the case. Like I would never want, I would like to meet them, but I don't want to learn how the trick is done. I don't want to see the man behind the curtain. Yeah. I hold them in such esteem. The concert that you're doing, we were talking, mentioned it, is this an original piece? Is there a narrative? Is it songs? Is it like a solo show or what?
I haven't performed in Los Angeles. This is where I'm from, like the Pasadena area. I haven't performed here in 2 years. And before I got Beauty and the Beast, because I was doing Mamma Mia, and I think it was like show 350 that I hit. I was like, I really like Mamma Mia, and I'm grateful, but I need to do something different. And I was like, I can't hear Dancing Queen again for a while.
Yeah.
So I was
so
like,
you're doing your own one person Mamma Mia.
Exactly. See, it started. Don't joke. Actually, I have
Mamma Mio.
I had a song in it, and I went, I just put Mamma Mia.
What am I thinking?
But because I'm so grateful to it, of course I'll talk about it because that's what it changed my life in so many ways. But I was like, I want to do something different. And I had so many negative Nancys who were like, oh, don't do a cabaret. No one wants to go see that. I'm like, well, I'm an Italian. I've got plenty of Italian family members who will definitely come. So I'm okay with it. I just needed to do something different. So it was all about, I'm like, it's just the beginning. It's all about like the beginning of my career and where I want it to go. But just being happy. So the whole evening will just be about like happy music and like,
oh, great.
Songs like, you know, I'll probably sing. I was telling Afton the other day, If I Can't Love Her, the Beast song, just because all I've been wanting to do is sing this song, and now I get to sing it every weekend. And it doesn't always hit me until the curtain comes down because I'm sweating through the prosthetics and the costume and the hump. And, you know, one night my pants were falling down, so my cape was covering, but I knew my butt was hanging out. And I was like, I'm emoting this emotional song, but my butt's hanging out.
I give my all.
Everything falls apart.
Particularly beastly that night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, one of the nights that one of the poor wolves, bless his heart, during the wolf chase when Beast saves Belle, accidentally ripped off my wig. And and no one really knew what was going on because it was foggy. And, you know, after it looked like I was hurt. And so, like, how do you go from, like, I'm a beast to, like, ow, my wig just came off? Like, how, like, so I ran off stage and I was like, and, you know, these paws, I can't touch. I really need help. So I have these really, really nice women and who helped me get in my costume. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. You guys have to bring the curtain down. You have to. And Afton plays the princess well.
I would turn into like a June Cleaver, like a little housewife that was like, he's going to be okay, everybody. Everything's fine. But, like, I don't know. It was very bizarre. But
did you just wing it like that?
Yeah. She kept running. I went off and I said, I'm going to go check on him. I think he's really hurt. And, like, ran off and then ran back on and was like, he's going to be okay.
But, well,
it's just his wig, everyone.
But yeah. While in the middle of it, she keeps coming off looking so.
It's so weird.
I joke because, you know, I was saying
it's that. Just his completely artificial headpiece.
Live theater. Mm-hmm. But there was, basically, I would say, like, Afton, like, it's the easiest person to work with, especially, you know, you worry, you know, these girls who play the princess. How are they going to be? You know, how are they going to be? And she's the sweetest thing. But I joke because we're so common, like high five and how are you doing and how's your show going? Because we don't really see each other on stage that much, really, or backstage at all. Wow. And then we go to the transformation and all of a sudden I become the little princess. And I'm like, take care of me, Afton. I am lying.
He's like, I just flew. Oh, my God.
I just flew. I'm stressing out. Like, and she's like, you're okay. I'm like, this is really stressing me out. Like, the quick change. Well, she's trying to get into this big ball gown and she's calm and collected. I'm like, can you check the ponytail in the back? Because I think it's can you check? Because I think like
what? I'm like, I'm naked, Alex. I still don't have a bodice on. Yeah. You're just, gonna be fine.
It's all good.
I got something to deal with right here. Yeah. First,
I forget. People care more about the dress than they do the prince coming out. They're still trying to understand. Is that him?
Well, let me just tell you that losing a wig is was actually the a changing point in my career for me. I used to do warm up for studio audiences, and I was living in Chicago, and I did the warm up for the Jenny Jones Show, which was a talk show in the '90s. Not as bad as Springer, but it was a little heightened. And I was backstage, and I was just sitting there because I'd go do my warm up, and I'd wait backstage, and I got hit by a weave. The two women were fighting on stage. One pulled the other's weave off. Threw a braid off stage, it hit me in the side of the head, and I'm like, you know what? It's time for a change.
Yeah, we're not going to do this anymore.
And that's not cool. People don't like when you pull their weave off.
No. I know.
I mean, that's what looked at the Beast. It looked like Beyonce's
hair.
It really does.
Well, when we get toward the end of the show, and you know what? Let me throw this out here one more time. This is just so people have it. In Fullerton at the Plummer Auditorium through the 21st, yes.
That's this Sunday.
That's this Sunday, thank you. 3DT shows is where you want to go for your tickets, or 714-589-2770. And complimentary public parking lot located across the street. So important in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And then where do they go from there, Kev?
They're going to the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center down in Redondo Beach, California, which is, you want tickets there. Again, 714-589-2770, or even better, go to 3DTshows.com.
And also free parking there.
And they are performing there on the 26th, the 27th, and the 28th of this month. And then That's it, right?
That's it.
You guys are done?
Yeah. Only three at this already.
So she wants to take the dress home.
I want the dress.
For sure.
Well, don't yet. We've got those backstage shots I got to get on the internet.
Yeah.
And the minute we do that. It's that time. We got 5 minutes left in the show. As we approach the end of the show, we always like to, what Michael Sterling would say, baptize our guests with the request for sharing a onstage mishap, something that went wrong.
Other than the one you just told us.
Yeah, right? You want
more. Do you
want
to kick it off for us? You got one
sure.
at the ready?
Yeah. Okay.
This really needy actor who just kept me from
kept
I was like,
me from getting
awful.
My dress
isn't that the worst?
On.
Oh, wait, that was me.
No, Alex is wonderful, and he didn't pay me to say that. So, have you guys heard the Poison Boot story? The West Side Story, Poison Boot story.
What?
Have you heard this? Okay,
no.
So I feel like this sort of circulates.
I think I know.
It happened
it's
to
also
a friend
poison
of mine.
Poison Jelly story.
A Poison Jelly story.
Poison Jelly, yeah.
I don't know, but it's the one where in West Side Story, this happened to a friend of mine, and I don't know how it circulated through, like, Southern California theater, but in West Side Story, you know, there's a gun in it.
How do you fire this gun, Chino?
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Chino's supposed to bring on the gun, right? And there's no gun this one night. And so he's like, what am I going to do, right? His brain decided to run on stage and yell, poison boot, and kick him.
Sure.
That was where his improv brain.
It's not the kick that kills you. It's the poison.
Right. It's the poison boot.
Right.
Yes.
The poison boot.
Right.
So that's a story that's dear to my heart. Last weekend, our castle didn't work right, and this is a Cameron story, and Gaston normally falls off the back of the castle, and he couldn't because there was no place for him to fall, and so he mysteriously disappeared. We're still looking for him.
Wow.
He just, like, slipped out, and we
He's
were
so
like,
confused.
Did he die? Did he leave? Oh. Is he still there?
I think he might be in trouble. Let me go
check. He's okay. He's going to be okay.
We had a gun story when we were doing a show called The Bat, and the guy, I'm going to totally spoil the play for you, it's this old chestnut, but the guy, the detective is the guy who really is the murderer.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first scene, he comes out and he shoots this guy, and the gun wouldn't go off, the actor has this really gruff voice, and so he went, bang! And then two scenes later, he came in, well, we have to figure out who the murderer is. And we all went, well, we know it's you!
Yeah.
What was the there was one thing
bang
some show I heard about where they had someone was supposed to kill themselves and they were supposed to sit in a chair and put a gun in their mouth and then they had a cannon. It was really gruesome. They had a cannon behind the chair that would spray blood on the wall behind them, and that was the sound of the gun too, so it'd be like the guy was blowing his brains out. And it's fine and really effective unless they trigger that cue 2 pages early and there's no one even sitting in the chair.
No.
Right.
So just all of a sudden across the room, it's just like, it's just
no.
Like, okay, what the hell?
Oh,
why,
no.
Why did the chair kill itself?
Yeah.
Alexander, what do you got? You got a tale for us?
Yeah, well, mine are always in high school. I don't know why.
I was a cheese grater. And
I was a cheese grater. I'm still angry about it. No, well, kind of. But no, my senior year of high school, we did Sweeney Todd because it was the rights had just come out for the school edition. Ooh, you know, it was fancy. And I got to be Sweeney, and the judge really didn't like me. I don't know why. It just didn't like me. And he didn't like how this scene was going. When Sweeney kills the judge, and it was all to track. So Stephen Sondheim to track, and that's the worst.
Yeah.
And we had this really cool shoot to shoot him down. Well, he went down, and at the top of his lungs, I can't even say the word he said live because my mother would kill me, but he slapped the person who caught him down in the chute and went, well, said the word, I'll mouth it. And I sat there while the track is going and started laughing.
Oh.
And being so menacing, and the director just goes, it was during a show, and the director over the intercom goes, just keep going. Just go to the next scene.
No.
The voice
this
of
is
God
not going to work.
Just keep going.
And I was just like, But that's all my. I mean, I get injured a lot in shows. Like,
attend the tailor.
Fuck! Yeah, yeah. So you can say it.
Yes, pretty much. Well,
I'm sorry, Michael, if you're listening at home.
But Alex didn't say the word.
We've gone rogue today.
Because nothing helps you stop laughing like someone saying, don't laugh right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's such a perfect
Oh, actually, can I share what happened last weekend to you? I saying goodbye.
Yeah, yeah, 1 minute.
This was fine. Not funny. Only funny because you're okay. But there was a scene where we said goodbye, after right before If I Can't Love a Reprise, and we were so serious looking each other in the eye, and I was just like, go save your father, and blah, blah, blah. And this poor girl... She was
But
from my perspective, I just saw a giant cupcake go flying forward. And I was like, so emoting and like teary. I was like, is she okay?
I was
shaking. I was like,
did you just ass over take
out? Oh, yeah. Just.
But what's funny is, from my perspective, it looked like no one went to help you. It looked like the princess is down.
I think they were just shocked.
I almost started laughing, so I was like shaking.
Princess is down. We got ourselves a situation.
Pretty much. Big problem.
Send a chopper.
Yeah.
What a pleasure having both of you on. Yeah. And after having you back, guys, and welcome. And also, Cameron, thank you for, who's not here, but thank you for being with us via the telephone. And thank you. I want to say to Kevin for so adequately and wonderfully stepping in for Michael Sterling.
And feel better, Michael.
And
doing such a wonderful job. And of course, before we sign off, one last word from our guest host, Jack Black.
Dude, listen.
Okay. That's all we got.
Wow.
Sorry. Shut up and listen to my order.
Okay.
Man of many words.
Anyway, pleasure having you both. And once again, for tickets, we'll just give them the website, 3DTShows.com, for both performances. And thank you so much for joining us on the air. And we'll see you all next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.